has COVID-19 really been the catalyst for anti-Asian hate, or has it kind of rather exposed the underlying racism that was already there?
I think anti-Asian racism has been around in Australia for a very long time. We can go back to the goldfields, and there's well-documented incidents of Chinese people being attacked as far back as that. But what COVID has done, I think, has really brought to the surface this negative sentiment towards the Asian population in Australia. So I think we've seen a spurt or a rise in incidents against Asian people or people who are presumed to be from China or other Asian countries.
Do you think there's a certain feeling that it is safe for white Australians to be racist against Asians, and that perhaps this COVID-19 pandemic has increased that feeling of it is safe for me to do this kind of action?
Well, I think people who commit any kind of hate crime, whether it's against people who are Asian or whether it's against people who are Indigenous or Muslim or gay or lesbian, I think in some senses they often do feel safe to attack their targeted community. They probably feel safe not just in a physical sense, but also in a larger social sense. They may well feel that others support their attitudes and that what they're actually doing is expressing a view that has wider support in the community. Mm. Or they may be trying to promote that view.
Yeah, so this might be sort of a larger systemic issue rather than these one-off incidents we might talk about.
Oh, yes, I think it's definitely part of a larger systemic issue. And what we find is that actual acts of hatred, or what we call hate crime, tend to erupt around local events or larger global events. And so that's what we're seeing here in the context of COVID. I would suspect that there's an underlying sense of anti-Asian sentiment bubbling away in the Australian community, but COVID has just brought that to the surface and made people feel justified almost in expressing their anti-Asian views.
And one of the findings of the report by the Asian Australian Alliance found that 90% of cases of hate incidents or alleged incidents of hate crimes were unreported. Why do you think that is?
Look, there are a lot of reasons people don't report crime, any kind of crime. Some people might feel that the incident is not serious enough, or that they don't want to take up police time with something that is comparatively minor. But when you come to hate crime, people's hesitancy to report is compounded by a range of other concerns. And even when events are actually serious, people can sometimes be hesitant to report to the police. And the reasons for this are that some communities don't feel that they can trust the police. They may be communities that have had relationships of tension or difficulty with the police in the past, and so they're hesitant to report to the police. They lack that confidence. And also there may be concerns that the police won't take the issue seriously or won't identify it or record it in the right way. And so people often hesitate to report these kinds of incidents.
The US bill being passed by Joe Biden, or being pushed forward by Joe Biden, to fight discrimination against Asian Americans. If we're looking at a kind of bill like that here, what is actually involved, do you think, in a legal sense, repairing this from a top-down political legal sense? How would you put a bill like that together?
Well, I think to put a bill like that together, what you actually need to do is to consult with the community, and that should be the first port of call. So we need our governments right across Australia to actually be talking to targeted or vulnerable communities, and that includes the Asian Australian community, about what their needs are in this area. What kind of incidents are they experiencing? Are the laws adequate to address those? And particularly, Do they feel that law enforcement is an organisation or an agency that they can trust and they can approach to get support? So we need that kind of consultation, and we also need our governments to talk with law enforcement and policing agencies about how well equipped they think their frontline staff are to actually identify hate crime and to record it accurately.
And that is kind of one of the key points of the bill, and perhaps just one to finish up on. But the mandatory training of law enforcement officials in dealing with these kind of hate crimes, how do you begin addressing that with police officers and ensuring indeed that there is no culture of racism within those law enforcement circles themselves that might be perpetuating incidents of racial hate?
I think this is a challenge for all law enforcement agencies across Australia. If you think about, for example, a new recruit coming into being trained as a police officer, they have to learn a huge amount of things. They have to learn all the laws. They have to learn how to use a gun. They have to learn how to treat the public, with care and respect and sensitivity, but also, to keep the public safe. So there is a lot of information that has to be departed in all forms of training throughout a police officer's life. So learning how to identify and respond to hate crime, I fully accept, is just one more thing that police officers have to learn. But having said that, it's a very important thing that police have to learn and have to understand. So what we actually need to see is greater direction of resources so that police agencies can actually provide the training that their staff need to identify hate crime, to respond to communities with sensitivity, and to be able to record it accurately.
Well, Gail, do appreciate your time on this. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Bye.